Hello, and welcome back to the Indie Heads Podcast, late night edition. I am your host, Maddie, a.k.a. Rekaiji, at Monrovian Prince on Twitter. On this special edition of the podcast, we have...
Hey-ho, AJ Moser, at and Moser on Twitter.com. Currently branded as Dougie Jones.
Dougie Jones. You gotta say it like that. You gotta say it the correct way, AJ.
Dougie Jones.
And also we have...
Ethan, at Eon997 on every internet platform imaginable.
So it's good to have a unified brand like that.
Yeah, it's rare these days.
Can't relate.
I do.
Can't relate.
Couldn't be me.
Anyways, so if it wasn't already obvious, this special late night is we're going to be talking about Twin motherfucking Peaks. Some new episodes, the first in 26 years, I think. Can the experts verify this claim?
Yes, sir.
26 years with the first time new Twin Peaks episodes. David Lynch, he's back. He is directing 18 fucking episodes and also writing. I think he's him and Mark Frost are writing all the episodes or co-writing all the episodes together. It is back, baby. Twin Peaks, it's good again. And before we begin talking about these new episodes and Twin Peaks in general, we're going to go around the panel, and everyone can kind of discuss their previous experiences with Twin Peaks and, you know, how long they've been waiting, when they got into it, etc. I'll let AJ go first on this one. I'll go last on this one because I'm the most embarrassing of the bunch, I think, of how late I got into the show.
Well, maybe. I think I watched Twin Peaks for the first time, like, probably, like, my senior year of high school, and I've watched it all, like, three or four times since then, and I'm a big Lynch fan, and so I was, like, I was very, very anxious for this new series, because I really had no idea what the hell it was going to be, and I actually hadn't seen Fire Walk with Me until the night before the premiere started, and I went and finally revisited Fire Walk with Me because I liked having that one little piece of Twin Peaks that I hadn't seen yet. But now that there's 18 new episodes, I'm already, and Fire Walk with Me is fucking incredible, and I really, really loved it.
Ethan?
Yeah. So I watched Twin Peaks 3 or 4 years ago, I think. Might be a little bit more, might be a little bit less, who knows. And it's one of my favorite TV shows. I've only watched it once, but that's not that rare for me, or that's not unusual for me. I don't really rewatch shows. But yeah, I'm a big Lynch fan in general. I haven't seen too many of his movies, but I've seen a few and I love all of the ones I've seen. I love season one. And I don't hate the second half of season two as much as everyone else does. I like a lot of parts of it. So I was super excited. I remember when the first post about like David Lynch looking for actors came around like a couple of years ago. And I was super excited about that. I was like, holy shit, is it happening? Because there's a big cliffhanger at the end of season two that I physically was destroyed by that finale. I remember I just lied down. Just for 30 minutes, just like recovering from it. I'm not even exaggerating. I was physically beaten by that finale. And then Fire Walk With Me didn't do too much for me. So like that didn't really like kind of cure my hunger. So I've been super excited since this has been kind of brewing and then really excited since it was officially announced. And spoiler free opinion of the new episodes. They're really good.
I have to agree. But I have the most unique experience here on the podcast because I watched all of Twin Peaks except for the missing pieces within a week, pretty much. Like
within this week.
Within this week, I watched everything. Watched the entire first season. Watched the entire second season. Watched Fire Walk with Me, and then the new episodes. All of it within a week, I think. I'll have to check.
Jesus
but I'm pretty sure it's a week. I'm like, I distinctly remember it being a week because
Yeah, you started on like fucking Thursday of last week, basically. I remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically,
I think I'm going to check out this Twin Peaks thing.
Because I checked it out because Red Letter Media, they did a review of Fire Walk With Me, and that piqued my interest. I was like, oh, I kind of want to get into this. Because I've never watched, up until Fire Walk With Me, I have never watched a David Lynch film. And I know now that we're waiting like 2 weeks for new episodes, I might have to try to... Josiah was like, okay, you got to watch this, this, and this in this order, and then you'll fully get the new Twin Peaks. And I'm like, okay, cool. I already like it, though, and I already kind of get what's going on, but I will do that because I need to stay informed. I need to stay woke. But yeah, these new episodes are very good.
There's a lot
to discuss. But I very, very quickly, as you know, your brother, Harry S. Truman, is my godfather. I heard he is ill. I came to pay my respects to my godfather.
Now it's spoiler time.
My best wishes. If you guys don't, we're going straight into spoilers, all right? Like, That's the call. This is spoilers, okay? we're talking spoilers the entire way through for all everything. So if you have not watched the new episodes, I do not recommend listening to this podcast. Unless you want to be spoiled
or die,
spoiled the fuck out. So let's just start from the very beginning, and just your initial reactions to that first scene in the Black Lodge, where you have the giant, who's old as fuck, like visibly very fucking old, and then of course Kyle MacLachlan, who is also very old but has aged pretty well. So it's like, oh hey, he's like a nice looking old dude, while the giant is just like, oh man, he's old. And that, I think that's the thing that, like, that almost took me out of the show, like, whenever I was watching those first, like, I say two episodes, was just like, oh my god, everybody is so fucking old. Because going straight from, like, 1990, 1991 Twin Peaks, where everyone else, like, everyone is young and hot,
oh, man.
To, yeah. Like, this Twin Peaks, where everyone is, like, old as shit, it's, like, it's a very rough transition that you have to be like, oh, this is, like 26, 27 years apart. Like, holy shit.
That's definitely been not even the, but one of the many highlights of the new series for me, is just like seeing the old characters or even imagery like resurface. And I watched the first two episodes at like a premiere party at a bar here. And like, there was so much clapping and screaming, like anytime someone would come on screen and like gasping. So that was a really, really cool environment to be in. But I definitely want to rewatch. That was just the first two that I saw in that condition, and so I definitely need to rewatch those two again. But yeah, anytime Coop came on screen, either Coop, any of the Coops really, anytime Kyle MacLachlan was on screen is like the highlight for me, because he's just like, Coop's such an iconic, pure, wholesome character, and just like seeing him back doing new stuff is so mind-boggling and absurd that like none of it feels real, but it's so cool. And I just need to get right off the top of the bat that, like, out of all four episodes, I think the most incredible scene and, like, the cementing moment for me that's just like, holy shit, this is the real deal, is the end of episode two at the Bang Bang Bar with the Chromatics song and yeah. Shelley and James. Like, that scene is so good. That's one of, like, the best scenes in anything I've ever seen, because it's just so, like, the scene isn't really about anything. It doesn't even make sense when you think about how James has actually never been cool. But
I was about to mention that. I was like, James was always cool. Like, what are you talking about?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But just like the music, and it's just like, you know, I get like the dialogue is there just because it's like, hey, Twin Peaks is back, baby. But that scene was so good. And just the way that it ended episode two, is like, yes, holy shit, it's back. And we're firing on all cylinders. And it's got that like warm, nostalgic saccharine to it. And it's just perfect.
What are you going to say, didn't Ethan?
Episode two. Oh, didn't episode two end with Coop falling?
Or no.
Is that a different episode?
That might be...
Because he was falling through like that space.
No, the very final scene of two is in the bar, because it goes to credits on the Chromatics.
But I think episode three starts off
right
with
before
him.
That is when he's falling.
Yep.
Okay. By the way, okay, so I think... I guess a complaint off the bat, not really a complaint, but more of just like a giant, like that was like the moment that I was like, okay, what the fuck is happening? Like basically like this show, if you guys don't know, like the so far the season, it will test your patience at times. There are times where you're just like, your brain is like, you're glued to your screen because you just want more information. You're trying, your brain is trying to process like what is happening, and it's like, I need more. Like the scene where he goes in the I don't know what to call it. I'm just gonna call it the purple area, the purple laggy area.
Yeah, I've seen people call it the purple room.
So Coop, he falls through non-existence basically, and in some very, the special effects, they're hilarious. They're both like, holy shit, this is kind of cool, but also like hilariously bad at the same time.
But okay, here's the thing.
Twin Peaks, it's kind of the Doctor Who effect.
It's Twin Peaks, well, so it works, I think. But
yeah, first of all, that's a David Lynch thing. That's a classic David Lynch thing, is that like the effects are bad. But I was just going through and watching like some of the GIFs of the most like visually striking sequences, like the falling and the space stuff, and like when Laura dematerializes or whatever the hell that was.
Okay,
and like
that the face mask is cool. That was a fucking cool effect.
Yeah, that was cool, but like, those sequences out of effects of the yes, that's what I'm getting, like out of context in the episodes, yeah. And like just like silent and GIF form, you know, frame to frame, don't look good. The effects obviously don't look good, but like in context of the episode, they are so fucking frightening and disturbing. Like everything was so like just so unsettling, even if the effects like aren't perfect. I just thought it all worked so well.
And David Lynch is such a sound guy, like that's what you need, that sound, like,
oh yeah,
dude, the first
there's not a lot of music in the show so far, but
yeah, the first like 20 minutes of episode three are just like wild, how it's all basically silent and like cutting back in reverse and going between all like the visual styles. It's like, that's some of the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, the purple room where basically like the lady with like no eyes. And it's just like, it's like, it's essentially like when your mom unplugs the router while you're playing Call of Duty. That was basically what it was, but it was cool. It was cool. It was like, you know, like I was saying, it's just that's the thing where it's like, I need more information. Like, what is happening? You're glued to your screen because you're not getting any. It's like, what is like, why is it lagging? Like, what is going on? And then finally, you know, when they go upstairs and the lady gets shocked into, and fucking like flies off the goddamn roof into non-existence. That, but by the way, that should not be as funny as it was, but it got a giggle out of me when that shit happened, for like just how comedic.
I was horrified.
I mean, it was horrifying, but it was also like, kind of funny.
Holy shit, she just sacrificed herself.
It was, I don't know. It was simultaneously horrifying, but also like kind of hilarious, which I think like is intentional, because a lot of people may think like with David Lynch, always like a deadly serious filmmaker. Like, no, dude's fucking funny. Like, if you want like any example of how fucking funny David Lynch is, fucking Dale Cooper. Oh man, I was so happy to see Dale Cooper. Like, I think Dale Cooper.
Yeah, the episode. Sorry.
Well, I was gonna say. Okay, no, you go. Ethan.
I just think the season. I said that this season's both like more serious and more funny, which I think is really impressive. I just think like the jokes are just more laugh out loud funny and not just weird as they were a lot of Twin Peaks. Like during the whole Michael Cera thing, I was just laughing my ass off like during that. But also like the fucking like scenes in the weird box room, the guarded box room, were like fucking terrifying. It's really dark and like. So, like, yeah, I think just, like, everything's been accentuated. I really appreciate that. But the comedy has been so, so good. Because, like, I think Lynch has shown he can be a really funny director. Like, Mulholland Drive has this really funny scene that's kind of almost Quentin Tarantino-esque and just, like, random violence. And I'm always like, where's more of that? And he's really good at writing and directing humor, and he just doesn't do it really, but like I'm really appreciating the little moments here and there, like the whole fucking peep scene or not peeps, chocolate,
oh, the bunnies
rabbits.
The chocolate bunnies,
is it about the chocolate bunnies? Yeah, that whole scene was so funny and I just really loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is sort of like my overall thesis of the new Twin Peaks, but I'll just play my hand early, I guess, is that it's like the ultimate culmination of everything Lynch has ever done, and not just a Twin Peaks sequel. And I really think that, like, the less you, like, I already think this is perfect. I love everything about this, but I haven't seen as many people as I thought, maybe, or like going into this series, they were like, this show is going to piss off like a lot of people. From like the early screenings that people had seen were like, yeah, a lot of people are not going to be happy about this series, because it is quite the opposite of what you're expecting if you want just like literally a Twin Peaks sequel. And so it's so obviously just like a David Lynch project with the Twin Peaks moniker on it. And like, I think calling it Twin Peaks The Return is good, because it distances it from, like, I don't think anyone should ever call this Twin Peaks Season 3, because it's really not what it is, in my opinion. And I think David Lynch has like made that point as well. But just from like the filmmaking styles to the editing, and like most of the first two episodes are not spent with familiar characters from the Twin Peaks original series, or even in like familiar locations, right? There's just a few moments of the iconic stuff from Twin Peaks. 3 and 4 are moving a lot more into that stuff, but like from the jump, it's very rough and just like unfamiliar. And you're like, literally, who are any of these characters, and why are we in South Dakota and jumping back to New York City? And like, why am I supposed to care about any of this stuff? But
And also, did Shaggy actually murder that librarian?
See, I don't know even what the fuck is going on there, but like, I'm just so into it. Like it, the first two episodes more than the second two felt like a David Lynch movie, which was great. And I'm obviously not going to complain that we're getting that, but it's like they're converging now. And I predict that as we move forward with the series, it's only going to get more like the Twin Peaks we knew, but then still somehow this new Lynch movie that it basically has become. And just, I think that this is going to end up being the best thing David Lynch has ever done, based off that it's going from the Twin Peaks story and is still just so like modern and wacky.
And also very important that this is David Lynch completely unhinged. Like, this is him with like 100% creative control, essentially.
Like, which is so good. Which is so good.
Showtime took a big fucking gamble, like letting like David Lynch have this, and he's taking complete advantage of it. Which I still can't get over. Sorry, fucking Matthew Lillard. That's so fucking weird to me. He did good. He did really good though. Like, I think he was very good, but definitely like adjusting. Like, wait a second. This dude was Shaggy when I was a kid, and now now he might have murdered a librarian.
When we were watching it, for the first time, everyone like cheered when that dude came on screen, and I was like, holy shit, this guy looks familiar, but I don't know who that is. And then I had to like wait afterwards, and I thought
I said in a Twitter group chat, which we're in with some folks, I was like, what the fuck is Dax Shepard doing here? I mixed up the two. Oh, I thought it was Dax Shepard for a second.
I thought that in the Bang Bang Bar sequence the first time I watched it, I was like, holy shit, that's Henry Rollins, for just like some guy who was standing in the background. And I was like, that's fucking Henry Rollins. And it wasn't, but I was like, holy shit.
I was gonna say, did you think James was Henry Rollins?
No, it wasn't James. There's like a guy who kind of like stares over at the table after they're talking about James. And I was like, that's fucking Henry Rollins. It's not. But I guess that's the thing too, is like, the celebrity cameos on this show, they're not even cameos at this point. Like, they have roles. Jennifer Jason Leigh, Michael Cera, who we obviously already talked about.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cameo. That's a cameo. No, I want that a role.
I want more. I need more of Michael Cera. I need more of that character.
There's no way Michael Cera isn't coming back.
No, he's got to be back. If he's not
it was beautiful, and I want him.
If they would be fucking stupid to not like use more of him. It's a genius character.
I want to talk about my theory, and that I think that whole character is making fun of James from seasons 1 and 2.
Yep.
Mostly season 2. I really am convinced that's what it is. And like David Lynch isn't super meta, like in terms of his own work. he's usually pretty like he's meta in terms of genre, obviously. But like, speaking of which, I wanted to bring up that the original Twin Peaks reminds me a lot of Blue Velvet, and this is much more Mulholland Drive and Inland Empire, from what friends who have seen Inland Empire have told me. I think this is kind of a natural progression.
This is Mulholland Drive meets Inland Empire meets like Fire Walk With Me, with a little bit of Lost Highway thrown in there, because just like the weird supernatural stuff, and not necessarily jump scares, but the just sort of like shock moments.
There were some fucking jump scares in that one scene.
I knew that I knew exactly where the whole box thing was going. It was still a fantastic sequence, and I loved it. But like from the moment,
but it was started, obviously,
yeah. Was it obvious?
Obviously, did you guys harping on? Well, not the TV thing, but that they were literally like two horny teens fucking, and they're like, oh, now we're gonna kill them. Like, that's obvious. Like, that's such a horror cliche, and Lynch obviously knows that.
Yeah, that was like those scenes felt very like, kind of weird and unnatural at first, because it's just like, you know, like these two unfamiliar characters, and like, what is happening with this? And then of course that does pay off later on when we find out like that
what was going on in the box.
Oh shit, Coop was actually in the box and he almost escaped. Like he almost escaped for a second, but you know, got flinged to the purple room.
But yeah, I think that sequence was like meant as a buffer, basically, because it was just so over the top in being really like dragging on and just like incoherent, basically, that like anyone who is like, oh, Twin Peaks was like this dumb cheesy show, like of course I want to watch the return, and like, you know, because it's just TV, like that's what we do, we binge watch TV now. And because like everything about this show feels counter-programmed to like almost all other television that's happening right now. And I've seen a bunch of people write this and talk about this more eloquently than I have, but like, you cannot break the new Twin Peaks down into like weekly episode recaps and do like spoiler theory breakdowns and like, hey, here's what the twist is going to be, like, you know, like Westworld or like
time for a game theory.
Yeah. Like do your interpretations or whatever. Like, it's literally just like, do not fucking try, because this show was made with the intent in mind to stump you from doing any of that shit. And it's not going to produce anything meaningful, because you are just going to walk yourself in circles trying to glean any sense of meaning from like certain sequences in the show. And that initial box sequence where it's like the guy doing his routine and like changing the light bulbs and then going out with the coffees and just being like, no, I have to watch this box because like some billionaire paid for it, and you're like, what the fuck is this? What does that even mean? Why is this here? And it's like, that is why.
I'm sorry. I was, fuck. Oh, it just, oh, I remember. So I think it's just really interesting because a lot of people are saying like, oh, this is David Lynch's fuck you to audiences. I don't really think it's that. David Lynch is just an experimental filmmaker who somehow is like the one experimental filmmaker who found mainstream success. Like, obviously, there are more experimental, much more weird experimental filmmakers, but, like, and David Lynch still uses narrative, but, like, he's still an experimental filmmaker at heart. He went to fucking AFI for grad school. Like, he makes experimental films. So, like, it's just really, it's just, like, yeah, it's just what he makes. Like, Twin Peaks was kind of him in combat with the television network. This is normal Lynch, kind of, in a way. It's not really a fuck you, it's just, this is how David Lynch's brain works, and I love that brain. So I'm so happy that this exists. And because I mean, he hasn't released anything in a long while, so I'm just happy there's more of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 10 years, and, like, what a fucking return to form this is. And, like, the thing, too, that people have been talking about now that Twin Peaks is back is that, like, so much modern TV owes like Twin Peaks for being the first show that really wasn't mindless soap opera entertainment. And that's why so much of the original Twin Peaks was like a parody of soap operas. And there was that show. Oh man, what's the Maddie, you would know since you watched it all. What's like the soap opera parody show that airs on Twin Peaks sometimes?
Oh fuck. Shit.
It's something dumb. It's not a huge deal.
It's something to love. Hold on. Let me.
Is it Hearts? Is it Hearts to Love?
No. Let me Google it real quick because I know. Invitation to Love. There we go.
Invitation to Love. Yes. Like that was at the time Twin Peaks was airing. Television was still a dirty word, and it was like, you watch television. You know, I watch cinema. There will never be like a high quality narrative told on television outside of just like this dumb, corny week to week dragging on stupid characters walking in circles kind of meaningless shit that will end up going nowhere. And Twin Peaks was like really the first of its kind to be like this show that you would like tune into week after week where you're like, sometimes in a given episode, something is going to be brought up that you're not going to get the answer to for multiple episodes or maybe ever. Like that idea of a branching, expansive Josie. Narrative. Josie. Yes, exactly.
We're and never going to know. We're never going to know.
It was pretty revolutionary at the time. And like my two favorite television shows now, Lost and The Leftovers, are like Damon Lindelof, who wrote them both, has explicitly stated that like Twin Peaks is the direct inspiration for both of those shows. And like without Twin Peaks, those two shows would have never existed. And so it's just like Twin Peaks, even if it seems like this weird cult series now, is like one of the most revolutionary TV programs. And so to have it back in this form is kind of crazy because it still feels like that sort of off the beaten path, just like weird ass show. And watching some of those older episodes is like, this was the most popular television show like of its time. This show is fucking crazy weird and at times so stupid. Yeah. In all the right ways,
and then also stupid in like the bad ways in essentially the basically after they solve Laura Palmer's murder in season two, the show gets brutal to watch, and where it becomes it goes from parody of soap opera to like, oh, this might as well just be a soap opera. If it's
supernatural soap opera.
If it's not obvious what I'm talking about, fucking James and that story. Like if you're watching season two like for the first time, just watch it all. I mean I power through the entire thing, but like there's a couple episodes in season two up until like maybe the last like four or five where you can tune out of. Like, you can tune out and just have it as back. It's good background noise. It's good visuals. I mean, because it still looks good. You know, it's like, okay, it's Twin Peaks. It's cozy. But, like, if you try paying attention, it is fucking brutal. Like, just don't
I said earlier that I defend season two, second half of season
two. It's not bad.
I will do that now.
It's not horrible. Like I said, it's good background noise. Like, if you tune out of it, like, you tune a little bit. You know, you just kind of like half paying attention. It's fine. It's not that bad. But like, by trying to fully pay attention, you will fail. Like, you have to like tune yourself out.
I know AJ and I talked about this once or twice or probably multiple times. But like, I think some parts of season two, like, I love the Ben Horton fucking Civil War stuff, even though it's so dumb and weird. I don't hate the James stuff. I don't like it, mostly because it takes you out of Twin Peaks. I just thought that was such a weird decision. Even though I love how they've taken it out of Twin Peaks in the new season.
The new stuff is that New York shot, right? Like, that was the first, after the intro sequence, was like, we start in New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and can
Which
we just talk
such
about...
such a beautiful shot. Such,
yeah,
such...
okay, so... two things I need to talk about now that they just came back into my mind. That overhead shot of New York was just incredible. And then the lead up into the theme song, how it went from the Black Lodge sequence through the abandoned hallways of Twin Peaks High School. And you're like, you know, oh, are we going to see some familiar characters? And it goes into the trophy case and like the camera hangs on the picture of Laura Palmer. And then the title comes up and the theme song starts. And that was another one of those moments where it was just like, yes, let's fucking go. It is back. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. That New York shot, Because again, New York, it's been filmed in so many goddamn ways, and that was like, oh, this is new. Like, fuck, of course David Lynch finds out a new way to shoot New York City because he's goddamn David Lynch.
And it really reminded me of the LA shots in Mulholland Drive, because those are fucking gorgeous too.
Absolutely.
And really different for a city that has been shot way too many times, of course, because every movie is masturbatory about LA. But I just, yeah, just everything is spot on here. Like, I don't, it's hard to talk about almost just because of how good everything is. Like, it's easier to nitpick and criticize, but like when the writing is on point, the acting is either very weird Lynchian or just really fucking good in general. Like some of the prostitute in episode four, is really entertaining. Like she's in episode three.
Wait, are you talking about the one that like that's in the that's in the hotel room that's next to Evil Coop, or is this something different?
No.
Oh, you're talking
about the one who picks up.
Dougie Jones.
Oh, the Dougie Jones woman.
Okay, we have not discussed that storyline yet. If there's anything that like any storyline so far that I can complain about, it's that I hope that even though like in retrospect I fucking love it, because I mean like watching it is brutal, because it's like and I know it's purposefully brutal, because David Lynch is taking this character of Cooper that we love so much and like completely breaking him down. Like, oh, you want good Coop? No, you're gonna get bad Coop. Oh, you want Coop with the funny little quips? No, you get Coop who had a brain lobotomy, basically.
Yeah, that's like you get brain dead Cooper. And that's the thing too, is like, as excited as I was for Twin Peaks to come back, like Cooper is one of my favorite characters of all time. Like everything that has ever come out of his mouth basically is iconic. And so I was like, I just want to watch, you know, he's clearly the main character of the show. And it's just like, I just want to watch Cooper do whatever the hell Cooper's going to do for like this entire series. And we haven't gotten a single second of it yet. And it's been like,
brutal.
I hope it doesn't go on.
I think
it's
coming back though.
Yeah. Cause the coffee, coffee, like you've pointed out. Yep.
Dougie Jones
is just, but
Mister,
like even in that
Mr. Jackpots,
he's so pure because like when he tries to entertain the kid at breakfast, you're just like, that's Coop, that's classic Coop. But like he's in there somewhere with the tie and everything, and like that casino sequence where he helps out like the old lady, I'm just like, that's Coop. He's just not talking, but that's my sweet sweet boy. And that whole. That whole sequence in the casino was like almost half an hour of him just walking around doing the machines.
Call for help.
It's like over 20 minutes long from like the time he enters to the time that he gets the limo ride home. And it's like, of course it is, but just
who
like
was the casino boss.
That was someone
familiar.
He was in The Dark Knight. I think he's just like he's played a goon in a lot of things.
Okay, he looked very familiar. I think it was in some TV show I watched recently.
Probably. The guy from... there was that one kind of like nondescript Las Vegas sequence with the guy from Mulholland Drive who sees the thing behind the diner. Was kind of cool to see again, yeah.
The cop who finds the car crash is the same from Mulholland Drive. But yeah, you were talking about how seeing Innocent Luke is so great. But like seeing Evil Coop is that much harder than like seeing him like choke out that or shoot the woman, and like it's fucked up to see that evil dude.
Yeah, I think
like
if I
in such a pure body.
Yeah, if I have a complaint about the show so far, it's how they've handled the doppelganger and some of the Black Room or the Black Lodge stuff, because obviously the guy who played Bob died. I don't know if you know this, Maddie, but the guy who played Bob is dead, and so he's obviously not coming back. And I had thought that they were going to use Ray Wise, Leland Palmer as the new incarnation for Bob. I guess we're getting Mullet Coop, which is fine, but I don't feel like it's been
properly explained. It's
not that it hasn't been properly explained, but it just sort of hasn't been like
it doesn't feel like Bob. But at the same time, yeah, you have to realize that it's been 26 years. Who knows how Bob has evolved and changed.
Right, because
there's a very like subtle thing in season in episode 4 that's like really clever that I checked the Twin Peaks subreddit and someone picked up on that and I was like, "Oh shit." Like I'll let you go first and I can kind of explain. Okay, who's is that your phone, Ethan? Turn off your damn ringer.
It's not my phone. It's in my headphones.
Oh.
Well, I don't know how that's coming through.
Turn off the ringer then.
Bitch, we can hear it.
Okay. It shouldn't be because it's in my fucking headphones.
All right, continue, AJ. I don't know.
The bad coop, I feel like, hasn't really been fully developed enough yet, and like the rules of the Black Lodge with Bob, sort of like where it's like you have to come back after 25 years. That's the stuff that, like, you know, obviously we're not owed any explanation for it, but it just feels like that's sort of the driving force to all of the series so far, and I hope that we get a little bit more of it, and it's not just like we're back into the thick of the action now, just sort of like deal with it. And also the guy who played the arm originally, the guy in the red suit, has like publicly spoken out against David Lynch, and he hates the original series of Twin Peaks and refused to come back. And so they recast him as a fucking tree with a brain on top of it.
Oh my god! Here's the thing: like, you didn't even get to the extent of it. Like, it wasn't just he hates David. You know, he hated on David Lynch and he hates the show. Like, he called David Lynch like, "Oh, you're like you're a pedophile who fucks like his daughter," and is like, he's also an anti-Semite. And it's just like a generally like horrible, awful, like neo-Nazi, pretty much. It's like the little dude. And so David Lynch is like,
but the language, the post,
yeah,
the post is insane. The capital, like I usually, you know, we Power Bottom episode, we talked about how we always believe the accusers. This was just the most fucking bizarre shit out of left.
No, because David Lynch is fucking innocent. Like if you see him in interviews, like he doesn't like or talk about people talking about him. Like he doesn't curse. Like. Even on the show, like when he plays fucking Gordon Cole, he doesn't curse as Gordon Cole. He's innocent.
Holy
and sweet.
Jumping George.
Okay, but can we once again, let's talk about Gordon Cole is the greatest character in television history. I stand by this.
It's crazy to me how much of a major
car sick.
Yeah, how much of a major role he already plays in the new series. And like the thing is that they wrote that character to be like deaf so David Lynch could just act poorly on purpose. And like in the new series, it's so apparent because he just yells all of his stuff, but like, it still just fucking works somehow. It's great.
Take a look, Sonny. It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite quote of the new series so far is fix your hearts or die from
Gordon with David Duchovny.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean like that, you could go into that, how that the character is problematic and whatever. There are very valid arguments about that. But like
the thing is like in 1990, like 1990, like,
oh
that,
my God,
that shit was
it.
Very
I loved it. Yeah.
It was like, I mean, it was still like even for 1990 that character was like pretty progressive. Like obviously they do, you know, mince like words and now we kinda know more, but like at the time, you know, it was still kind of very taboo. And the fact that like, you know, like like right away, like Cooper's like, oh, all right. He just like that's okay. Denise, cool, whatever. Like just doesn't even bat an eye. Basically, just like initial like, oh, what? Okay, Denise, cool.
Yep. Like oh, that's happening. Cool.
Because Cooper is wholesome and sweet.
It. Yep.
He's our wholesome and sweet boy, even when he's brain dead. All right. It's Mr. Jackpots. All right.
He's the mascot for good boys around the world.
Hello.
That whole sequence too was like interesting, just because it's like, you know, a deconstruction of how like children learn, and just like watching his brain basically like teach itself to function again was just like so. There are so many sequences in The Return specifically that like could be just their own long developed like arcs and even films, and it's just like it's all contained under the Twin Peaks moniker. And it's really, I think, perfect in basically every way.
what was I about to say? Fuck. The whole casino scene just was so good. It just reminded me of like those jokes we used to tell when you were kids. I don't know if they entered your elementary schools, but the jokes were like, so this guy knows three words, poop, butt, and ain't, yeah. And pee. And like all those dumb jokes. And they would, and he would like only say those three words in the worst way possible, and it never made any sense. But David Lynch made those jokes actually funny.
Like, call for
the
help.
The whole sequence is so hilarious.
Call for help.
Also, why did no one call for help? No one calls for help.
Yeah, that's the only time that like, that takes me out of the series like a little bit. It's just like, how does no one notice that this guy's fucking brain damaged? Like, why is no one like taking this guy to a fucking hospital?
Like, why doesn't someone save our boy? Well, like, isn't that the thing too, though? Is that, you know, Cooper's such a good, wholesome character, and like, you know, when he's in trouble, Cooper would go out of his way to help anyone, and when he's in trouble, all of the characters that are around him are like so involved in their own self-interests that like when he's literally begging to call for help, they're like, you know, Dougie Jones's wife is thinking about like the money, and there's the guys in the casino who are thinking about like, fuck, like the business is going to be ruined, and even the limo driver to an extent is just like clearly fed up with doing his job and being like a labor worker essentially, and they won't like pay attention to Cooper as a human, whereas Cooper is like the direct antithesis of that and is the most pure good boy that has ever existed. And like, that's sort of what Cooper is as a character, is just like this pure unstoppable force of good. And that's why taking his whole, you know, ability to think away has made for some really interesting stuff, because it's like, yeah, dude, people are shitty. When there's like a baby man walking around a casino, they're just concerned with like their own finances and then their own shitty jobs. It's like, ugh, it's pretty genius.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, shit. I want to bring up that I guess a theory or something that people notice on. So in season 3, episode 4, where Dougie Jones. Okay, so we're introduced very quickly to a character called Dougie Jones. So they seem to be like in like some kind of like abandoned house in like one of those like in like Arrested Development season 4 when they have that fucking like abandoned neighborhood basically that Michael Bluth like tries to build. It's basically that pretty much. So they're in a house, you know, yeah. Dougie Jones, he's paying a prostitute. And by the way, here's how you know that this show's on Showtime and not ABC. There's a lot of nudity already in the
show. There's some titties, baby.
It's excessive. It's like, it's just like, what, I mean, David Lynch is obviously will do nudity. Like, he does it, but like, I don't know. I like the Twin Peaks. Like,
okay,
edgy, but you can't show it.
Okay, you do know that, like, if Twin Peaks was not ABC back in the day, there'd be titties everywhere, all right? Like,
no, I'm Mulholland Drive has, like, super hardcore lesbian sex. I'm not, like,
and like Fire Walk With Me, like, I mean, Fire Walk With Me was the first time that was like, yo, we're gonna say fuck and we're gonna show tits, deal with it.
Exactly. But yeah, there's definitely, it's definitely like, shit, like what is going on? But continue, Ethan. I was gonna say continue.
Continue. Oh yeah, part of why I love the original Twin Peaks is that kind of art that comes from the combat between the network and David Lynch and kind of the compromises that they come to. I think that's why Community is one of my favorite shows, is because like Dan Harmon kind of had a compromise always. And I think that can like kind of having a box can sometimes really make you try to think outside of it. So that's why I love the original Twin Peaks. I love this for a different reason. I love it more like other Lynch films, in that it's just completely off the walls, bonkers, fuckery, like whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. So I don't. Yeah, I think I agree with AJ when it's not like, it's barely it's a continuation of the story, of course, and ideas and themes or whatever. But it's not a true continuation. It's not season 3. Of Twin Peaks, it's something else.
I really think that calling it season 3, and I haven't seen many people do it, like before it aired, even I was guilty of being like, yo, Twin Peaks season 3, that's crazy. But it's already so obvious that like, this is not really, you know, Twin Peaks. It's not going to be like, we're going to pick up on every, you know, plot thread that was left hanging and all of that stuff. And like, seeing what it is now, I don't know how anyone could have wanted it to be. Like, what we get is so perfect. Yeah. And because of what you were talking about, that was a really, really good point about how the original Twin Peaks, like, existed within all of that drama and still managed to be so memorable and so original. And it feels like a buildup. And even the shittier half of season two, where, like, going through that and the brutal cliffhanger has all enhanced this experience. And it really is. David Lynch was playing four-dimensional chess all along, and we have now reached the checkmate. And I really think that this is the, like, ultimate culmination of David Lynch, truly David Lynch unhinged. And I can't believe we're getting 14 more hours.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Oh yeah. Okay. So sorry. Can I just mention the theory? Cause I'm going to forget if I don't mention it now. So someone on the Twin Peaks subreddit, they caught that. So, on episode three, I think is it episode three or episode four? Where
it doesn't even matter at this point.
Okay. So there's a scene where it's like back to back. So you have Dougie Jones or original Dougie Jones. Well, it's Dougie Jones. He mentions that his left arm is numb. And also on his left arm is the ring, the special ring that's featured all throughout Fire Walk with Me.
You know, yeah, and then it slips off in the Black Lodge.
Yes.
And he transforms into whatever the fuck that thing
into
is.
A golden, he transforms into the golden snitch without wings, basically.
Yes.
But anyways, so all of a sudden he's not feeling good. So he's crawling. He's like crawling on the floor like, I need, you know, like he's in massive pain. And it goes back to back between Evil Coop, who's like trying to drive away, and it's like very like intense close up shots of the car charger or the car, like the cigarette lighter, and it's just like glowing, like, you know, that meme where the eyes are like, where it's like the image is like compressed to shit and the eyes are lighted up.
Absolutely,
that's basically like what's happening with the cigarette lighter, and it's going back and forth, and you know, Coop, like, he's like disoriented, like. Like, is like swerving off the road like crazy, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then we figure out what's happening when Dougie Jones pukes up just some wretched, like, fruit. It's fruitcake, like some like wretched.
It's the Garmin Bozia. Yeah,
it's Garmin Bozia, or like really fucked up fruitcake. And when after he pukes that up, Dougie Jones disappears. Like, he just disappears, and then all of a sudden he's in the Black Lodge, and he's sitting in the chair, and he's so confused, and like, what the fuck is happening? And then One Arm Man is like, oh, by the way, you aren't real, LOL. And then Dougie Jones disappears, becomes a black flame, his head turns into a black flame, and then his clothes fall to the floor, and he turns into the Golden Snitch. And then you have Evil Coop, who is trying to hold in the Garmin Bozia, because he knows that If he's the first one who throws it up, he goes back to the Black Lodge, and you know Cooper is able to come back to the real world. So, basically, just it's a contest between the two who can not throw up. But you know, eventually, Evil Coop relents and you know crashes his car, throws up the Garmin Bozia, and is thrown, or the cops catch him, and you know, Albert and fuck, who's the other guy? It's like Miguel Ferreira. Like, what's his character's name? Fuck. Why am I forgetting this? Hang on. I gotta recap right up here. Fucking,
what is this
thing? Oh, Albert. Oh, yeah, Albert.
Talking about the throw-up?
Yeah, but I'm getting to the part where Evil Coop is in jail, and Albert and Gordon Cole go to visit Evil Coop because, you know, they think it's obviously, you know, it's Cooper. Like, they found Cooper. What the hell? So they found Cooper, and they're talking to him, and this is a really long-winded version of this theory. Like, I'm trying to explain everything. It's like, if you're listening to this podcast, you already know I'm just describing the show. Anyway, so they're in jail, and then as Cooper, like, Evil Coop is basically trying to act like normal Cooper, but, like, failing completely and sounding, like, really inhuman and totally unnatural.
Right,
he slips up for a second and starts talking backwards, apparently, and like,
oh yeah, and then someone reversed the audio, right?
Yeah, people checked and like, oh, he actually was talking, like, for that one word, he talked in reverse, and so people were theorizing that, like, you know, Evil Coop, like, maybe why he's so silent or so like brooding is that, like, he's trying to like talk, like, trying to make sure that he talks like how everyone else does, because he's from the Dark Lodge. Like that's the doppelganger evil coup. You know, he's Black used to Lodge. Talking backwards. Black Lodge, sorry. It's my bad. But yeah, so he slipped up for a second. So people are theorizing that, which is very interesting to think about. That like, oh hey, like he's trying very hard to not talk backwards all the time. But yeah, that's it.
I think that also it's been like almost all but confirmed that, you know, they talk about they're going to like find someone who knows Coop at the end of that sequence in prison, Gordon and Albert, and I'm pretty sure it's Laura Dern who's playing Diane, who we'll finally get to see, which I think will be cool.
Oh, what about the girl Annie? She's not part of the revival, right?
I think it was never like deconfirmed, but Heather Graham wasn't on that list of like returning actor or when they released like the cast list. I don't think Heather Graham was on that.
Interesting.
And I mean, like with the way season two ended, I didn't really expect her to come back.
I just, their love was so pure.
Yeah, I do kind of want her to come back because I do, but I think like I saw a clip of the missing pieces where they kind of explain like what happened to her after like they, you know, after she was in the hospital and whatnot. But well, she has been a whole lot, but
she has that sequence in Fire Walk with Me which is pretty cool.
That is true. But yeah, it'd be nice to bring her back.
I don't remember.
She says there's a good Cooper and a bad Cooper, and the good Cooper is stuck in the Black Lodge.
Oh, okay.
To Laura when she first puts the ring on.
And then write that down in your diary.
Yeah, because you're the only one who can help him.
Interesting, because they've already brought back that Hawk is the only one who can find Coop. If you've seen that image, says, the only one I want, who I want to find, or like the best one
if,
to find.
If I ever go Coop, missing, I want you looking for me, basically.
So are they going to bring back? Well,
Gene.
Ethan. You said Gene.
No, sorry. I said genius. There's just a lot of lag. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, how much of it is like planted in the original series that like is coming back to fruition now? All the 25 years stuff, obviously, but like even in these first few episodes, the stuff that people have pulled out of the original episodes that is being referenced and brought back up is pretty mind blowing.
Which yeah, I want to mention probably my favorite scene in the series so far, and one that is basically like the most like. Like, ah, oh, this is Twin Peaks. Like, yeah, we're back in Twin Peaks, baby. Is the scene where Bobby, who is now a deputy, you know, comes into the room and then sees the picture of Laura Palmer and like, and is like just really well acted and so emotional, and you know, and then the Laura Palmer theme comes up, and you're like, ah, oh, this is Twin Peaks. We're back, baby.
Oh yeah, I fucking sobbed during that scene. That scene was so good because it was just like so out of nowhere, right? And it felt like 25 years had actually, like, that's how someone would have reacted, like, you know, with Bobby, even with Bobby and Laura's relationship, like, that's how a human being would have reacted, and it was such just, like, a genuine sequence. And seeing Bobby as a cop, too, I think is really cool. I really can't wait to get into, like, what some of the older characters are back to. I mean, I'm glad we got Andy in it as soon as we did, because Andy is truly, truly pure.
So yeah, now that Cooper is corrupted, or we have evil Coop and then brain dead Coop, it's nice to have Andy because he has not changed. He has not changed at all. He's still fucking Andy.
If we ever got an evil Andy or a brain dead Andy, my heart literally couldn't take it.
And
what would brain dead Andy be?
Hold on. Speaking of Andy, there's a theory that Wally Brando, Lucy and Andy's kid, who is played by none other than Michael Cera, there's a theory that he's actually Dick Tremaine's kid after all.
I want that to be true.
That makes too much sense. Biologically, it's Dick Tremaine's kid.
I was gonna say that biologically it doesn't matter because that is fucking Andy's kid through and through, like so obviously, like it's just so obviously that's who he was raised by.
that
sequence with Michael Cera
I just want Tremaine to come back.
It's like a David Lynch movie, just like
hair.
it's like Wes Anderson directs one scene in a David Lynch movie is what that Michael Cera sequence felt like.
My shadow is always with me. Sometimes ahead, sometimes behind, sometimes to the left, sometimes like to the right, except on cloudy days or at night.
You need that pause. You need those pauses.
Yeah.
Or the moment where that monologue like where it becomes where it goes from what the fuck is this to like okay I'm in is when he pronounces Caucasians as Caucasians.
Caucasians, yes.
Fucking my dharma is the road. Your dharma.
Your dharma.
And then the entire fucking hand time. Motion. And then the entire time, like Lucy and Andy are trying not to break. Like you see them like trying their hardest, like not to corpse. Like, they're just looking at Michael Cera, just like trying their hardest, like just focusing dead on him, like trying their hardest, like not to burst out laughing. Like I really hope some bloopers come out for this.
What I love about that scene is that the whole time they're just standing there holding, touching him. Like they're just standing there like a still picture. And they're just like not doing anything. I just love that they're just like, they don't even consider like, hey, we should move our arms off him while he goes on this speech. They're like, no, our arms stay on our son.
That's our sweet that's our boy.
And also, I put a poll on Twitter to ask the folks out there, who is the best Twin Peaks wife? And luckily, Lucy just barely won it. For some reason, people think Audrey is the best Twin Peaks wife, which I don't know. Like, Audrey's cool, but is she wife material? No. All right? If Cooper says no, you should listen to Cooper. He's a very trustworthy fellow.
Absolutely.
Right now he's not, but like season one, season two, Cooper, very trustworthy fellow. You gotta listen to him. But
I really want Audrey to come back because she's confirmed alive in the book, which we can talk about the book. I'm the only one who's read it, but like I don't want to ever talk about that book. But the only reason I bring it up is that she's alive and I really want to see her because she's in it. We all know that. But like she's such a good character. Oh, yeah. I just want to see more of her and see where she is now. Like she had so many different directions she could have gone if. Like, I just want to see what they chose. Like, when they chose Bobby being a cop, it's a perfect decision. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what Audrey is.
I do wonder if during the series they will bring up the fact that in Fire Walk With Me, Bobby literally kills a guy. Like, that's something that I don't think is brought up enough. That, like, oh, hey, did you know that in Fire Walk With Me, like, Bobby kills a fucking drug dealer who's giving them cocaine?
Yeah, no, they'll never bring that up again. Don't worry about it.
Yep. Also, another like old character coming back that isn't really talked about a whole lot is Ben Horn coming back. But you know, Ben Horn, like okay, like it's like that's obviously Ben Horn. But like when his brother Jerry comes in, you're like, wait, what the fuck?
Like, oh yeah, that got
he
one
talks
of the,
about his deed.
That got one of the biggest cheers at the viewing I was at.
Wait, how did everyone figure out right away that was Jerry Horn, or did like people take a second to realize? I mean, you could tell right away with with his mannerisms that like, oh, that's Jerry, but he looks so fucking old.
That was the first like returning character sequence, I think, like the real one, because that mm-hmm. black and white sequence didn't really count. But like, that was the first like, oh shit, we're back in Twin Peaks. Like, these are characters we know doing things we know them to be doing, and so I think that was part of it. But also, it was just so fucking absurd. And like, yeah, I think people immediately recognized Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just the idea that he's a weed dealer makes so much sense.
Of course it does. It makes perfect sense. Idea. Yep.
And there's Jacoby coming back in the very weird and long sequence where they buy shovels. And that's classic Lynch. That's classic Lynch, I think. Like,
it is, but like that's starting to piss me off a little bit because
there will be a payoff, okay? There will be a payoff. But it's classic Lynch because, like, the thing is, like, I think watching the series back-to-back, like, watching going from, like, season two, like, straight into the new series, it does, like, because there's a scene in the season two finale in the bank, that very elongated sequence where it's just essentially one take of the old guy very slowly walking around, like, trying to get the water for Audrey, who's chained herself to the bank. Like, that's what it instantly reminded me of just, like, this very long and dual sequence that you're like, why the fuck is this here? but it's David Lynch, and you're like, oh, well, duh, he's got to have that. So I think there'll be payoff. We'll figure out what's going on with him, I think, but I'll let you complain, AJ.
I just think that, like, even wherever it goes, I'm having trouble right now imagining a situation where, like, that, whatever the payoff could be, like, makes it worthwhile. Like, what could he possibly be doing with the shovels? Which is obviously the question we're supposed to ask. It's not like I, you know, am fed up with the show's bullshit or anything, but that's the one sequence that sticks out in my mind as a thing that's like, you know what, that's not maybe as genius as the rest of it is on the surface level right now.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Oh, shit. God damn it. I was trying to click on, like, a David Lynch interview that Entertainment Weekly did, and it's a fucking, like, sound pop-up. God damn it. Fuck you, Entertainment Weekly. fucking... I'm sorry. I'm looking... I had a couple links opened up of, like, one's a New York Times recap, and I'm looking at fucking Michael Cera in the goddamn leather jacket and the fucking silly hat. Just fucking... God damn it.
The icon.
Fucking, Oh, yeah, we talked about very briefly when we talked about Gordon Cole. But David Duchovny... See, when I first saw the promo... When I first saw the promo image as, you know, David Duchovny in... You know, at the time, I'm thinking, oh, it's David Duchovny in drag. Like, oh, is this, like, a new character or something? And then, you know, now, you know, watching the series, like, oh, it's actually a returning character? What? So that was, like, kind of cool. And obviously, you know, as we mentioned, Gordon Cole, fix your hearts or die. Like, hey, that's pretty legit. But
yeah, David Lynch is the shit, my dude.
Shouts out. We kind of gone through. Is there anything that we missed out on that we want to mention? I mean, I think I guess some final thoughts or what we expect to happen next.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
More mind-blowing shit, pretty much.
I'm so ready to ask more fucking questions than I get answers with the next episode.
Hell yeah,
I'm so
baby.
Ready to get all the answers. I'm ready to get the reason why Josie's in a fucking doorknob. Why everything. The Black Lodge is going to be explained. The White Lodge is going to be explained. Everything's going to have an explanation.
We're finally
like a shitty fucking book.
Yeah, we're finally going to figure out who killed Laura Palmer.
Are we going to find out?
Ethan.
Are we going to figure out what happened to Big Ed and if he's still in an unhappy marriage?
I wanted to ask you one thing.
We got to find out. I have to know.
I wanted to ask you one thing specifically about relating back to the book, because you had told me that the book, like, pretty, if not explicitly, hints that a lot of the goings on in Twin Peaks are related to aliens. With that in mind, watching some of the new series, I was like, oh, they could fucking go there. They could do it. They could actually just, like, full on fucking embrace that and go for it.
Blue Rose.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of the alien stuff does actually have to do with Major Briggs in the book.
Who he's mysteriously like, was killed. Yeah.
In the book, too.
Yep.
But yeah, and the whole idea is that he's, like, researching UFOs. And it just, the whole book just feels like kind of the Star Wars prequels, or where they're, like, midichlorians. It's like explaining this kind of awesome thing. Or, like, the 2001 book, which I like the book a lot, but, like, the movie's so good because it's kind of fucking weird. And then the book kind of is like, yeah, this is what's happening right now. I am explaining everything in kind of that classic sci-fi way that nothing is left to the imagination. Obviously, 2001 book is better than the Star Wars prequels, but the same principle applies where things are explained that don't need to be explained. And as much as I would love to know, like, hey, what is every character in Twin Peaks up to? What explain everything? Like, that's not what I truly want. That's not good David Lynch. That's Mark Frost. That was a bit mean. I really, obviously, Mark Frost had a huge impact on the show, but I think his impact on the show in a lot of ways is the more conventional stuff. And that kind of bounces off with Lynch's zanny craziness. but a whole book by Mark Frost. It was hard to get through because if I remember Mark Frost's like writing history, he wrote on a lot of television and like soap, maybe even soap operas, but I don't think so. But he's like a television guy, so like he comes from a very different world than David Lynch. So I'm happy that David Lynch is more in this season than Mark Frost, even though I think Mark Frost is obviously very talented.
Yeah. Can we mention this one scene? We didn't mention it. I mentioned it briefly, or kind of when the scene at the end, basically I think at the end of episode 4 with Albert and Gordon and their conversation, like David Lynch is a fucking good actor. Like, of course, when he started on Twin Peaks, he had the crutch of being like basically deaf, so he could hide his bad acting. But now it's like, oh, like David Lynch is actually good at acting. Like,
yeah,
he really carries that emotional like weight.
In the first 4 episodes, he really is the kind of like emotional protagonist, for lack of a better word. Like he's the central force of the show right now, which is like funny because it's David Lynch who masterminded the entire thing. And, you know, I'm going to put myself in like the prominent role, but it makes sense within the universe, you know, that he would be looking, you know, so intently for Cooper, and that like any, you know, hint that Cooper's back, they would follow. And but like in episodes 3 and 4 specifically, his character is really the heart because of our lack of Cooper. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I want more angry Albert though. Like angry Albert is such a good part of the original series, and I do appreciate his arc, and I do think they kind of need to maintain that. Just like seeing him freak the fuck out was so great compared to Cooper.
Oh, and the Mount Rushmore stuff too. Maybe return.
That was so funny. Here's a picture.
Yep.
Carsick.
Faces of Stone.
Fucking. Again, let me reiterate. Gordon Cole is the greatest character in television history. Fucking. But yeah, there's a lot of characters. I mean, I do want to see, you know, obviously more of the old characters. Like, I do want to see more of James. And that was kind of that was a tease,
yeah.
Of like, oh, he was in an accident. Like, I want to know more. Like, where the fuck? As much as I hated Donna, like, I will say season two, it tests your patience, but especially with James and Donna, where by the end of season two, you're like, I fucking hate Donna. She basically killed a guy, like killed the fucking plant guy or whatever, the Meals on Wheels guy. Like, she basically killed him because she, you know, is a little nosy. And is an emotionally manipulative little brat. Like, God, be kidding me. But I do want to know, like, what happened? Because they mentioned an accident, and it's like, did Donna die in the accident? Like, what's going on? And also, I want to figure out if... I assume that Bobby and Shelley are still together, as far as I can tell. It seems like, cause I think Shelley mentioned she has a kid, so...
Yeah, she has a daughter.
So, I'm basically, it's more of, I want to see, you know, I like most people, you know... I want to catch up with the characters of Twin Peaks. I want to see how they're doing now. But at the same time, you know, it's like, I want to see what crazy shit happens. I will take
whatever we get, basically.
It's like, yeah, it's like, I trust David Lynch with my life right now. Okay. So like, I trust him to take the series, but also this one, it's going to be, you know, kind of odd because we're only getting one episode now. It's only one episode in 2 weeks. And then And then we gotta wait the next week for, you know, another episode, and it's like,
well, not necessarily. Some of them are gonna be two at a time, or maybe even more, because they said that like Lynch has full, complete reign on how this show is being released and marketed and all of that stuff. And so there are going to be weeks where we get two episodes at a time. That we just don't know when that will be yet.
Okay. Oh yeah, I'm not okay. I wasn't sure because from what I heard, it was like it's going to be like 4 episodes, you know, right off the bat. And then like it's like 2 air on Showtime and then 2 more go on demand. And then, you know, it's like 1 week until the last 2 episodes where then it's 2 at the same time. But I didn't know that, like, we don't know the schedule yet. So,
yeah, I, for as anxious as I am to find out what's going on, I'm glad that this all wasn't just like released at once on Netflix, because that might have just been like overload. Even 4 episodes, I was like, holy shit, this is quite a lot for my brain to comprehend, even over the course of, like, you know, 3 days.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited to see Kyle MacLachlan really shown his range on the show, where you know plays you know normal Coop, normal Coop, brain dead Coop, Dougie Jones, evil Coop, and then I think it's just that's just the four as far as we know right now. And then yeah, there's just so many questions I have, and I know I'm not gonna get any answers. It's more of a, just like I want to ask more questions. All right, like I want more of everything. So David Lynch. You son of a gun, keep on.
It's good to have him back for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
oh good.
Of course, I can't imagine like people who were fans of the series when it came out. Like, I cannot imagine how fucking happy they are right now.
Oh yeah, like it's a pretty big deal.
And also, like, I know a good thing is that like the show would not be coming back. Like I'm literally just like quoting like the Red Letter Media review, but like. David Lynch is only—he's doing this because he wants to do this. It's not like they're bringing it back. Like no, like David Lynch is like no, I want to do this, and that's kind of cool. So, it's nice. I need to watch more David Lynch films. I'm gonna try to do that in the week and a half we have with no new episodes, or I might try to rewatch some of season three. But I'm very excited to see how this goes. Like I think our new episode's still gonna be coming out when we go to Pitchfork.
I think so. Yeah.
I think I think it goes into August. I want to say.
Oh boy.
Because that means that come Pitchfork Fest, like when we get home from the last day, there's gonna be new Twin Peaks, probably like ready to go that we can watch all together.
I'm gonna die.
It's gonna be great because we're all gonna be fucking exhausted and drunk pretty much, and we're gonna enjoy some Twin Peaks.
Yeah, but like. In that could be like 10 episodes from now, and who knows like what the fuck will be happening.
Oh yeah, that's the thing,
right?
Is that like right now it's hard to predict where things are going. Like we don't know like what's gonna happen. Like okay,
it's impossible. I don't even know what's happening now. I can't predict where shit's going.
Yeah. I guess my prediction. I have a prediction that I think is kind of predictable. Evil Coop's gonna break out of jail somehow. It's gonna happen. I just have that feeling. He's gonna break out. But that's the only prediction that I can make with like any confidence. Like, okay, Evil Coop will probably break out because that just happens. But like, is Coop gonna come back out of his coma, like his brain coma? I don't know. It could happen on the next episode, or it could happen on like episode like 14. But I'm ready to be mind fucked.
I think that as far as predictions go. I think that we're sort of in the prologue arc of this season, and that is going to end with, you know, good Coop being restored to his full mental capacity. I think bad Coop will still be roaming around, and there will be a really fun dichotomy there. But what I think this season is ultimately going to be about is in some ways a redemption for Laura Palmer. I don't think like, you know, they're going to fucking resurrect her or anything, but I think there's some kind of like spiritual journey that they're going to have to complete to kind of like put her soul to peace or something, just with like the ring and all of the Black Lodge stuff. I think that's a good way to tie it back, especially neatly into how the series began, because it was, you know, about like her death. And then with Fire Walk With Me being like, showing how shitty her situation was, and with Cheryl Lee being such a great actress, and David Lynch has basically said as much that like he wrote Maddie's character, and just to keep Cheryl Lee around in the series. I think that whatever the like end game of this return is going to be is like more about Laura Palmer than maybe we're aware of right now.
I think so. Yeah, I think the Bobby Briggs thing. Or the Bobby scene, like that's a tease. Like, I think that's like we're running it more of that. So I can get behind that take. I can get behind that prediction. Yeah, it'd be cool. Because I do think there's a lot to still explore with it. So yeah, Ethan, any final thoughts?
Yeah. Did I just forget them?
It is happening again.
I'm super excited for whatever comes next, even if we don't get any answers and just more questions. And I do think Coop is back now after episode 4, or at least mostly back. And I'm just really excited for like the gang to get back together and just seeing him and Evil Coop kind of like facing off will be really cool. Like that's obviously where it's going.
It's heading and also, into full final season of Lost territory where you had like Evil Locke roaming around, and like I mean, I love everything about Lost, and so that makes me happy. But like, let's just fucking get into that weird shit of two Coops facing off.
But the thing is, it's David Lynch though, so you're not gonna get a traditional like face off, you know.
I think they might share scenes together. Probably.
I think they will, but I'm just of course. But like, are they gonna fight? Probably not.
No, they're not gonna fucking. It's gonna be like, you know, like a spiritual.
It's gonna be like the Matrix.
Yeah.
It's gonna be the Matrix.
Fuck. Okay.
No, but really, what I'm really excited for is that.
Go ahead, well, Ethan. Sorry, I forgot a character's name, and I wanted to say something.
My lag is so bad. My lag is so bad. The first Twin Peaks seasons 1 and 2 and Fire Walk With Me never felt like a complete product. And I just feel like whatever this is, it'll feel like an end. Like, I don't think, or maybe it won't. Maybe there'll be a season 4. But, like, David Lynch has an opportunity to make a conclusion. Even if it's not satisfying or, like, normal, it'll just be
satisfying in the traditional way.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll come to around. It will come to a conclusion in some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of way.
But I feel like if there's gonna be a face off, it's gonna be very similar probably to Wyndham Earl, in that it'll probably just be like, you know, a game of cat and mouse pretty much, which is interesting. And it'd be nice to do that in a season that's mostly kind of dull, because I will say that there's with Wyndham Earl, it takes a bit for it to pick up where you're like, I don't care. But then towards the end, you're like, oh, I'm invested. But, you know, I want more. I need more information, and I'm not going to get it. And I'm happy.
It is hard to process the things that are happening.
I got no words. All right. Better look again, Sonny. It's gonna happen again. that's all I gotta say. We'll try to do these kind of regularly. Like, I do hope that I'm not sure if we'll do them like after like every episode. It'd be nice if we could do that, have regular content. But we will try to do these kind of regularly, and hopefully, you know, we'll have more people on board as we do have our spoiler chat.
We have to get the resident Twin Peaks stan Will for Thrill on one of these.
Is he in the spoiler chat, or is he like waiting? Is he holding off on watching the
new
episodes?
He watched like half of the first season and hates it.
Okay. All right. I was like, wait, what? Oh, never mind. Of course, Will hates everything that's good. All
right, that's right.
You don't know that.
And he likes shitty bands like Wilco and Fleet Foxes.
Ooh. This is the one episode where we don't get to shit on any music and we get to We'll try to do these more regularly. It'd be nice if we could do it after like every new drop of episodes or a new episode or whatever fucking schedule David Lynch decides for the series.
Yeah, there'll certainly be like less to talk about. Well, who knows, but like, you know, when we're talking about one episode versus 4 episodes and 2 seasons and a movie,
we'll have less to talk about. They might be shorter. Yeah. They'll probably be shorter episodes.
They'll be more concise.
Yeah. This one's like long-winded because there's so much to process and so much to like, what is happening? But yeah.
Hello.
Hello. So we'll see you guys next time on the special edition Late Night Twin Peaks Bang Bang Bar Roadhouse podcast. Sponsored by sponsored by whatever fucking cigarettes they're smoking on that show.
I think it's American Spirits.
Of course they're American Spirits. Of course. Jesus Christ. That makes too much sense. Anyways, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.